Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are focusing on the energy sector as I am chatting with Joseph Schatcher. He is the editor of the Schatcher Energy Report, also writes the Eye on Energy. That's his free report that focuses on more or less the data that's coming out in the energy and oil sector. One quick comment is Joseph is offering all of you, our listeners, a discount on the Schatcher Energy Report of $100. So that's $100 off of the quarterly price. I'll post a link to the Schatcher Energy Report website, as well as the coupon code, which is KER21. Joseph, I want to start this off by asking about some of the new coverage you're picking up in the sector. This ties into some of the trends that you think are coming for the oil sector, but start us off with some of the new companies and different areas of the sector that you're picking up coverage on, please.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks very much for having me on, Corey. The focus that we've had for quite a while is on the energy and energy service stocks. And we started the product, as you know, in April of 2017. And we have a lot of older, wealthy subscribers who've been asking me for some time to cover the dividend-yielding pipeline and infrastructure stocks. And it takes some time, of course, to get familiar with the names, build your models. So we're now starting in the April SER issue, the one that comes out next Thursday, coverage on five companies: Enbridge, Keyera, Pembina Pipeline, TC Energy, which used to be TransCanada Pipeline, and Topaz Energy. So these are all companies that are yielding, between 5.5% at Topaz to 7.4% for Keyera. Enbridge yield 7.2. So investors who want, capital gain potential of, 5 or 10% plus a well-covered, well-protected dividend that has growth over time, potentially giving you 15, 20% total return, that's what we're trying to do now with this new coverage, and that will start next week. And we will then, on a quarterly basis, as companies report in May, we will then update the quarterly data and say, how did the companies do versus our expectation? So people will be able to say, okay, I own Enbridge or I own Keyera. I want somebody to keep me up on it and let me know how they're doing because I don't have the time or I don't have the knowledge base to do that. We're providing that now in our product, and that will be an addition. And that's been my focus over the last month or two to get ready for it, and we're going to pull the trigger. And that's why we made this special offer to your subscribers. We've been talking to you for, a couple of years now, going over the area. And now I think this is the window to use to make the special offer for your listeners.
Hey, we really appreciate that, Joseph, and I read over your newsletter, every report that you send out, and it's well worth your time, especially if you are looking at investing in any companies in the energy sector. Just bring our listeners up to speed, too, Joseph, with how many companies you do follow in the Schatcher Energy Report, please.
Well, we cover 30 companies, so our focus now is we have 12 companies under conservative. So conservative means strong balance sheets. For the most part, they have dividends. These are companies that we classify as A, which, we have an ABC system. A is a survivor and a growth and will grower. B is companies that we see as surviving, but have, issues maybe with debt or growth potential or, other issues. And then the entrepreneurial are companies that are a bit smaller in most cases, but either have a debt issue or an abandonment liability thing, but they still are exciting names, and we see them as making it through the cycle. And so we're covering right now, as I said, five companies that are in the pipeline and infrastructure area, and then the bulk of the companies are, and then of course the rest of the companies are split between the energy E&P and the energy service sector, and we have capacity, we think, in our research team to get to 32 names. So the next one or two names we add will be in the growth category. And we've got a watch list of another 10 or 15 names. And at some point, we may add one or two of those to the list. But we've got ourselves a nice mix of companies from, you know, the largest names would be Enbridge and TC Energy. And then we have, you know, the biggest, you know, of the service sector names would be Precision Drilling. And then the biggest of our E&P names would be Tourmaline. So we do have a nice group, and then Whitecap would be the Tourmaline would be the largest of the natural gas names, and Whitecap would be the biggest name that we cover on the oily side. We don't cover the integrated, so Suncor, Imperial Oil, because we don't, you know, the refining business is and we don't see the growth of those companies as good. The dividends in most cases aren't that high. So we'd rather cover the pipeline and infrastructure for those that need dividend income. We don't focus at all on the oil sands or the heavy oil business, because I think that's going to be the assets base that's going to be most under attack by the environmental groups, also Line 5 issues. And then, of course, at some point in the Gulf of Mexico, where right now a lot of demand for heavy is there for Canada, if there's ever a change in regime in Venezuela, or if Mexico ramps up their heavy oil capability, their distance to the Gulf Coast is much shorter than our pipeline system from Alberta, and so we would probably lose market share. And so I don't see as much growth potential for the heavy oil sands side as I do for the conventional E&P side, and so our focus is based on that.
Okay, Joseph, let's talk a little bit about the energy sector, oil in particular, because it has rebounded. It had a very short-term correction, but as we're chatting, crude is still over $63 a barrel. Do you think this price is sustainable? Because in all fairness, you and I have chatted, and you have been on the bearish side, but oil's managed to hold up there.
Yeah, the reopening trade, the optimism over vaccinations, especially in the states where Biden's really accelerated. Remember, he was talking about by the first 100 days doing 100 doses. Now 100 million people getting their vaccination. Now they're talking 200 million by that same timeline. And now they're talking by the end of June, every adult who wants one will be able to get one. And of course, they're now up to, you know, over 4 million people a day, some days getting their injection. So they've done a great job on that side. But here's the basic problem. To the anti-vaxxers, you've got a lot of number of people in the states, and there's been reports by, you know, Bloomberg and others that 30% of the American population do not want to get it. And you may have seen an article in the press last week that the U.S. Marines, 40% of the Marines have said they do not want to take it. So you've got the anti-vaxxing thing there. Second, we've got the mutations. And of course, you know, there's the UK variant and the Brazilian variant, and that's causing people who may have even had the shots, Pfizer or Moderna, get ill from that. And then yesterday you had the CEO of Pfizer say that you may need a third shot that they're working on right now within a few months of the second that can handle the mutations, and also you will need an annual booster shot to take into account any mutations. So I think that the whole optimism side of it is now being thrown into a little more cloudy side. The other side of it is, of course, is you know, everybody got their stimulus checks in the states and went on a spending spree, which I think brought people up that the demand, you know, with people driving more and shopping and stuff and spending that money. But once we get past that spend, I think we're going to see that the strength of the U.S. economy is not there, just like we're seeing now out of China. China put out a big number for year over year for their GDP growth in Q1, but the increase from Q1 versus Q4 of 2020 was only 0.6% versus an assumption it would be 1.4%. So the rate of growth in China is not as high as expected. Part of that, it was the shutdown of the country because they didn't want travel during the lunar holiday season. But also, I think we're because of the, you know, the problems they're having with the trade, with issues with the United States and other countries. Europe is not really buying very much right now because they're in a lockdown process as well. And of course, India is going into a big lockdown, and those are big buyers of normally of Chinese goods. So I think that we're going to see in Q2, the assumption of the bulls is we're going to see 97 million barrels a day of demand, up from about 94 in Q1. And then by the end of the year in Q4, they were looking for 99 to 100 million. And those optimists were saying that in Q4 we'd be $70. And even some have stretched that number and said we'll be $90 US for WTI. My view is that we're probably going to see 94, 95 million in Q2, maybe get up to 97 million barrels by the end of the year. But if you add in 2.3 million barrels from OPEC, that covers all of it. So that doesn't, tighten up supply. And then you've got the U.S., which is the production rose to 11 million, up 100,000 last week. And I think that with the activity we're seeing from the Baker Hughes rig count and from companies announcing their activity, that the U.S. could probably get back to 12 million barrels of production by the summer, so an extra million from them. And remember, the peak was 13.2, so I don't think that's going to happen until 2022 if prices hold up. So my expectation is we're going to start seeing builds in inventory again. That's going to spook the market. I think 58 is like the battle line, a close under 58. And as you said, we're 63 now, so we're in a trading range between 58 and 64. I think a bust of 58 will happen during the month of April, so later in the month. And then I think in the month of May or June at the latest, we could get down into that 48 to 52 area, depending upon how quickly the inventories build and how what happens with mutations and hospitalizations and ICU bed need. And the bottom line is I think we're going to get into that 48 to 52 before we start seeing the summer driving season in July, and that would probably take the index down. So the S&P TSX Energy Index was at 128 at a high when we had that $68 pricing. Today it's 63. It's trading at 118. I think it's going to bust, the 100 level on a bust of 58. And then I think, depending upon where we go in that 48 to 52 range, we could see that index 75 or less, which means from where we are today, many stocks could have 20, 30, 40% declines, and the leverage names would have more downside pressure than the strong balance sheet names. So my view to people is, look, we made a lot of money. We gave the buy signal in March. In January, February, March, we got repeated sell signals. We said, sell, take your profits. As you remember from the reports and the amount of money that was booked, we had some fabulous gains. You know, stocks doubled and tripled from the low in March. One of them, if you remember, Touchstone Exploration, went from, 40 cents to 290. So that was one of the better performers. But we had, Whitecap go from under a buck to almost $6. So there were some big names that did well. Tourmaline tripled from $7. It's now $24. So it's, it's almost pushing, a four bagger. And so there was some great gains. And now we're saying, no, harvest them because you'll get a better buying opportunity, especially if we break that 58, then we're going to see significant downside. Because a lot of companies still have a lot of debt, and they're going to have to be using that cash flow to pay down their debt under pressure from the banks heading into Q2 and Q3.
So it sounds like you still, again, waiting for that pullback. And on top of that, you're really building up your shopping list right now. That's why you're offering this discount, because now might not be the time to buy, but in the next few months, if that drop happens, then that's when you need to be ready to move into some of those stronger plays. Is that a fair summary?
That's correct, yeah. We want people to be comfortable with the names and say, that's the kind of name I want to own. Now the question is, what price do I pay? And we'll see if we're right. If we break 58, then you'll know we have a higher probability of being right. And then we'll give you a range of where we would say buy. And then if you're a subscriber, we send out action alert buy notices to our clients saying we just got the trigger for it from the bullish percentage index that we watch and the other data we watch. And here's the price points we thought were buys. And here's the price, we're saying buy now. Here's the stock. Here's the price we think it's a buy. And then we'll put that on our action alert buy list. And then 5 days thereafter, my wife and I would have the eligibility to buy those names. And then we have a thing called the SER ownership page where we show people the names we bought and the prices we paid and the date we bought so that they can see what we're buying. And then they can say, they can verify that, we're listening to our own stuff and we're buying our own stuff. Now, we're not going to, if we end up with 20 names on the buy list, we're not going to own 20 names. We may own 10 names or 12 names, so they'll see how we selected. But our view is, again, because of my age and desire for income, I will have more than half the portfolio in the conservative and then split the rest between the growth and the entrepreneurial, because we'd like to have, you know, some significant capital gain potential like we had last year from March into the first quarter of this year. But now we're sitting defensively in cash, I'm waiting to see how this market reacts. And my guess is sometime in the next 2-3 months, we're going to get the next low-risk buy signal again.
All right, Joseph, always great chatting with you. Thank you again for your time, and thank you for that offer. The discount code, again, is KER21. I will post a link below where all of you can take advantage of that offer, and it is good until the end of this month. Please email me if you guys have any questions on Joseph's newsletter or anything else involving the Schatcher Energy Report. My email is fleck@kereport.com. Joseph, really appreciate your time. We'll chat again in a few weeks.
Wonderful. Thanks very much. Look forward to it.